Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible teaches us that we're to pray for our leaders, not only spiritual leaders, but community and government leaders. And we do that from time to time. I believe in that. And I hope that you are praying for your leaders here in the city of Springfield or whatever city you're from, and in Missouri, and our national leaders. I hope you're praying for them, because they need our prayers. And whether they're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, the Lord can move upon them. Amen. And there are times that you could pray, and we could pray as a church, and perhaps they would be planning and putting together some kind of legislative bill or whatever it is, and all of a sudden God just drops a little thought in their mind, and they think, oh, that would be a good idea. You know, God works like that. No matter what party they're affiliated with, God could do that and give them godly wisdom, and they not even realize where it came, but God can lead and direct. So I hope that we are praying for our leaders, and I want to take a special moment to pray for our president today, and who is sick with this virus and apparently seems to be doing quite well, but we want to pray for him, because he's our leader, and that is something that it's very serious, and also for the First Lady. And I know there's some other senators and different ones that will have this, and probably more before we get through this. There will be other leaders, perhaps. And also, I want us to pray for our governor and First Lady of Missouri, who I believe are probably mostly recovered. But I want us to pray for them today as well, that there be healing and blessing and strength, and that God's goodness would reach to where they're at. Would you join me in prayer today? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that commands us to pray for our leaders. And so today, God, I pray for President Trump. I pray for First Lady Melania Trump. I pray for Governor Parsons and his wife. I pray that you would let there be healing in their bodies. Give them a quick recovery from this. Let there be strength, I pray. We pray against that virus. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that you bring healing and help. Lord, I pray that you bring comfort and peace to them right now. In Jesus' name, I pray that you would bless them in their efforts to lead our country and to lead our state. I pray that you give them godly wisdom. Lord, surround them with advisors and people that can help them to lead in a godly manner. And I pray, Lord, that you would help someone to make a contact with them, that they would receive truth according to the word of God, that they would receive the gospel, that they would repent of their sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I ask you for it in Jesus' name. And I believe, Lord, that you are able to do anything, and we praise you for it here today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Man, we're going to turn to the word of the Lord, Luke chapter 15. Thank you for standing, and we're going to stand in honor of the reading of the word of God. Luke chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to see my niece here all the way from Texas. I think she just came in for the weekend, but good to have Alyssa with us today. Praise the Lord. God is good. Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was hungry. He was hungry. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. It'd be better for me to be a servant and have something to eat than to starve like this. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, isn't that powerful? But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Amen. Looking back at verse 20, it says, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Today I want to preach on this subject, grace for the distance. Grace for the distance. Would you just ask that the Lord would move and touch whatever hearts he's reaching for today, that God would have his way. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for the moving of your spirit, for the refreshing of your spirit that we feel in this house today. I pray that your will be done in every life, that you would give me the strength and the ability and the anointing, Lord, to preach what you have given for us. And that, God, I pray that every heart that you're reaching for would be open for what you want to do. And we give you all the praise and the glory for it today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Come on, God is good. He's worthy today. There's nobody like the Lord. He deserves all our praise, all of our worship. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you today. I'm preaching to someone today who is a great way I don't know who it might be. It may be someone here today. It may be someone watching or listening online. But you're a far distance from where you need to be. Maybe it's someone who has never really known the Lord. But you know that you are far from where you need to be today. And you are desperate for help. You are desperate for an answer. And your spirit it's crying out for something, for someone to reach way down to the hole that you're in and help you out. I've come to tell you today about God's grace. Listen, God's grace goes the distance. God's grace goes the distance. Amen. If you're honest with yourself today, this whoever it is that God is reaching for, you maybe once knew the presence of God and the calling of God upon your life, but over time sin has caused you to drift away from the plan that God had for you. And so today you know you're so far from where you should be, and you don't even have the strength to figure out how to get back. But I'm here to remind someone of the grace of God. The grace of God that will meet you where you're at and will give you the strength to get back. Hallelujah. Maybe you're here today or listening today, and you've been doing your best to live for God. He's brought you a long, long ways, and your life looks totally different from what it looked like 1 year ago or 2 years ago or 5 or 10 or 20 years ago, but you still know you've got a long ways to go. I tell you, God's grace will go the distance. And what he has begun in your life, he wants to finish it. And he will take you the distance to bring you into what he has called you to be. Oh, if you don't believe in the grace of God today, then this message is not going to be very interesting to you. Amen. If you're perfect and you've never had any troubles and never had any struggles, then this may not be what you want to hear about today. But for the rest of us, Come on, somebody. For the rest of us, those of us who have been like the prodigal and we have found ourselves at times a great way off, God is going to do something today, and his grace is going to reach the distance to where we are, to reach to us. And if we will listen, if we will have a willing heart, if we will follow him, then there's going to be lives transformed today, and God's will is going to be done. Praise the Lord. In preaching, illustrations often bring home the message in a way that we can relate to personally. And although there's many illustrations from things that happen in our world, the illustrations that I find most interesting are illustrations from the Word of God. If ever there was one who lived this message today, it would have been David. David, who became king, but started out a little shepherd boy. From humble beginnings to a man after God's own heart, David found grace for the distance. You see, he was so low that nobody even bothered to invite him. Samuel the prophet was coming by their home, and oh, what a great honor, one that most households never experienced, but the great servant of the Lord would be stopping by Jesse's house, and all were gathered there but David, who was out taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your children here? And he said, well, you know, we've got one youngest. He's out somewhere taking care of a few sheep. And Samuel said, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down until he comes. You see, God looked further than Jesse was looking. God looked further than even Samuel was looking. They had their own ideas about who God was going to use, but God looked past what they could see, and he saw a teenager. He saw a songwriter. He saw a harp player, a freckle-faced kid whose stories about killing lions and bears probably drove his family crazy. But God saw further than what all of them saw. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I've come to tell somebody today that it takes heart to start out in the right direction. Because nobody else might believe in you, and people see our mistakes and our shortcomings, and it seems impossible that God could use us, but God believes in us. He has faith in us. He knows that we can make it despite all of our weakness. He sees our heart. Hallelujah. And he reaches for us when we're a long ways off. People wouldn't even believe that we could do it, but God's grace goes the distance. That's how God works. He does it all the time. He did it for Jacob. Oh, remember Jacob running for his life? Not that he even had much worth living for, because everything he had, he'd only got by stealing it. But way out there in the middle of somewhere, in a place that would later be called Bethel, when Jacob didn't have a thought for God's plan for his life, he wasn't considering what God would want him to do, but God met him there, and he dreamed of a ladder that reached to heaven with angels ascending and descending, a heavenly portal. And when he woke up, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Because the grace of God went the distance to reach for Jacob. Hallelujah. God did it for Gideon. He was cowering with fear. He was terrified of the enemy. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Who? Me? Because the grace of God went the distance and enabled Gideon to do what he could not do on his own. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that?
God did it for Mark in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote him off. But God knows how many of us have been written off before and considered not worthy, considered not worth the risk. But oh, just like Mark, he keeps reaching for us. He keeps working for us. His grace will go the distance. And one day, Paul said, hey, send me John Mark because he's profitable unto me. So the grace of God goes the distance, and we see how it went the distance to a back pasture somewhere where David was taking care of sheep. God looked further than man and saw that David had heart. Following David's life, we see there was no one who was as inexperienced as he was. His brothers were military experts. They were aggravated at the distraction of their little brother showing up at the battlefield. They cut him down with scorn. Why'd you come out here? Hey, who's taking care of those sheep you're supposed to be watching? He didn't look like a soldier. He didn't act like a soldier. He didn't know military tactics. He was a great way off. It seemed like the most unequal fight in history. A little boy versus a giant. A slingshot against a shield, a spear, and a sword. Just a young lad against a big man in heavy armor. An amateur against a professional. What were the odds that day? Was it 200 to 1? Was it 1,000 to 1? I tell you, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. 1 Samuel 17 and 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. The Philistines sneered in contempt. They despised him because he was just a kid. Oh, he had a long ways to go to the throne, but that kid was headed in the right direction. He had a long ways to go, but he was headed in the right direction. And he looked at that giant and said, I come against thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And if we have ever seen the Spirit of God and the power of God run in Scripture, we can envision it here in this account that day as David took a stand for the Lord, and God ran towards David faster than the giant could step towards that little boy. And that was the day that the Father in heaven said, you know what? That's my son, and I like his heart, and I like what I feel, and I'm going to stand with him. Everybody else was afraid. Nobody else believed in him. But David said, is there not a cause? And God said, that's what I'm looking for. Oh, David became popular overnight. The fame of what he had done spread through the kingdom. Lots of people want to come to your side when you've had some victories. God's in the business of running towards those who have been discounted. Those who've been thrown aside. They've been left alone. They've been abused and broken. They've been discouraged and depressed. People who don't have a chance. God's grace seeks those type of people. Hallelujah. Oh, the Spirit of God sought out Elijah when he was so discouraged he wanted to die. The Lord ran to a woman at a well who was an outcast of society. He ran to a woman who was caught in the very act, and everyone in town wanted to stone her because of her sin. That's the kind of people that God's grace runs to. Come on, is there anybody that's imperfect here today? You don't have it all figured out. You don't have it all together. You're ashamed of to think of where God has brought you from. But in your lowest moment and in your guilt and in your shame, God's grace reached to you. When nobody else wanted you, God wanted you. He desired you. He ran after you. And his grace went the distance to where no one else would reach. Amen. God's grace, oh, it ran to David when nobody else believed in him, but he had a made-up mind. He's not going to let that giant Goliath get away with defying the Lord, his God. You see, Still, David was a great way off. And 1 Samuel 22:1 says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and they were with him about 400 men. He became the captain of an army of 400. But it wasn't much of an army. They didn't have any money. They were all in trouble. They were all outcast. They were all running from the law. But I'll tell you, many mighty have come from poor beginnings. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it with me today. Our Savior came from a Bethlehem manger. Joseph, the prime minister of Egypt, came from a prison. A man named Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he did it while on house arrest. God opened the wonders of heaven, and in the end time, John, he has already foretold it, but he did it while banished on the Isle of Patmos. Someone doesn't have to be of the upper echelon of society for God to use, but he gives us a chance when nobody else will, and his grace goes the distance when society won't. God cares about us. You don't have to have a big bank account for God to use you. It doesn't take the latest and greatest fashion for God to use you. You don't even have to have straight A's to make it. We may have a long way to go to be perfect, but God's grace says, that's somebody I can use, and I'm going to run to them.
Hallelujah. Think about something with me here today. There was one who had even less than David. Her name was Hagar. She was expecting a baby. Ishmael was not the one that God had promised. But the blessing was extended anyway. And when things got too hard for Hagar, she ran into the wilderness. And an angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And God made promises to her about her descendants. Why do you think there's so much oil under those Arab nations? God put it there. God put it there because of a promise made to an outcast servant girl who ran into the wilderness frightened and alone, but God's grace met her there in that place. Hallelujah. Somebody today, I don't know who it is, but I feel this so strongly. Somebody either here today or somebody listening or watching online, you are a far way place. You're in a wilderness somewhere. You're so far from where you know you need to be, but God's looking at the potential in you, and he knows what he is able to do through your life. You need to hear the voice of the Lord today. I tell you, God's grace will go the distance. God's grace will go the distance. Read with me of David in 1 Samuel 27:1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, his enemies. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. It had to be one of the lowest points in David's life because nobody cared, or so he thought. There was a bounty on his head. Instead of a palace and a crown, all he had was bad water and hardly any food. And think of David. Here's the giant killer. Here's the victor over the Philistines, but he's so desperate. He's so desolate and alone. He seeks safety among the Philistines. Our heart sees, it just aches to see him in this place that he's groveling before the Philistines, and he begs with them. He says, give me a place to go in your country. And the Philistines thought, well, we'll do it because he'll be our servant forever. But God's grace had another plan.
God's grace had another plan, and his grace covered him and protected him. And maybe that's why throughout the book of Psalms, we find David so many times that he sang of the Lord being his safety. God is my refuge. God is my help. God is my safety. He keeps me safe among my enemies. He covers me. He leads me to the rock that's higher than I. Oh, come on. I tell you today, God looked at David and said, in the midst of your lowest point, my grace is still reaching for you, and I'm still covering you, and I'm going to bring you through into something great. Oh, how low can you go? Not low enough to hide from the grace of God. Maybe today you feel like you're at one of the lowest points in your life, but I tell you, God's grace goes the distance. And even where you are, when it seems like everyone's forsaken you and you're facing trouble on every side, and friends have become enemies, and trusted people have turned on you, those who should have built you up have destroyed you. But even in the midst of a situation like that, God's grace, it reaches that far. Hallelujah. Oh, would you thank God for his grace right now? Would you thank God for God's grace that's reaching for you, that's pulling on your heart, that's tugging upon you here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. But Pastor, you don't know all the things I've. You don't know how I've messed up. Oh, kind of like David. When he'd lost all self-control, and when he'd shamed God and shamed his nation and shamed his family, he was a horrible man. He was an unworthy king. He was a murderer. He was a liar. He was a victimizer. Come on, we can hear the agony from the place that David was at in Psalms 51 and 1. He said, oh, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Oh, You just think that you're guilty? What about this man who was battered by sin, perhaps more than any other in history? Oh, yes, the words of our text fit perfectly here. He was a great way off. He was a great way off. He was a long ways from where God had anointed him. He was a great distance from what the kingdom expected from him. Even Uriah had so much respect for the king that he slept outside the king's house instead of going home to his wife. But David had violated the trust of men, and he had profaned the anointing of God. Even then, God saw him. Oh, God saw him at every step. He saw him when David saw Bathsheba on the roof, and when he asked about her, and when he sent for her and took her, and when he made plans to cover things up, and when that didn't work, when he made plans for her husband's death. God saw him when he tried to go on like everything was fine. Oh, don't forget that today. God watches. God watches. He sees every plan of hell for us, and he watches every step we take, if it's good, bad, or righteous, or evil. He saw David in all of this, but then he ran towards him. He wouldn't just let David remain in that place of sin, but he saw David and he ran, and he sent Nathan the prophet unto David. And David said unto the king, thou art the man. And David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And then the word came back, the Lord has put away thy sin. You shall not die. I tell you, the grace of God goes the distance. Oh, what a distance it was. It was a place David never imagined he'd find himself. He had violated man's principles. He had transgressed God. But even in that place of utter guilt and shame, God's grace went the distance. When he was a great way off. I don't know everything the enemy has trapped you in today. I don't know the depths of your sin. I don't know the extent of your failure, the struggle that has strangled you. I don't know what demons you're battling today, or who you failed, or who you've let down. I don't know how disgusted you are with yourself and the decisions that have brought you to that far, far place. But I do know this. Oh, somebody hear this preacher today. I do know this. No matter how far you've gone, no matter how bad it is, I don't care how bad it is. Hear this, God. God's grace goes the distance. And his grace is reaching to everyone in that wilderness place where everything's broken, where all is wasted away. And God has enough grace to go the distance. And he is running to you in that place right now. Oh, hallelujah. One final example from the life of David. You see, Joab, the general, knew better. He said, "My lord, the king, why do you delight in this thing?" David had said, "Go number the people. Go see how big the kingdom is. Go see how many people we've arrived at and how strong we are." And Joab said, "Oh, this is not a good idea. Sometimes we get too big for our own good." They used to say, "You get too big for your britches." David got too close to what King Nebuchadnezzar had done when he said, "Hey, isn't this Babylon that I have built by the might of my power and by the honor of my majesty?" And while the words were still in Nebuchadnezzar's mouth, a voice came from heaven and said, "The kingdom is departed from you." And Nebuchadnezzar lived as a wild beast in the field. The Bible says, until his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. God resists the proud. That's something that'll mess every single one of us up. We can't make it without God's help. We can't make it without God's help. Oh, we need to remember that today. Maybe it was easier for David to trust in the Lord when he was a kid facing the giant than when he was king over a rich and powerful nation. He wanted to number the people, but strength is not in numbers. Strength is in God. And God had to remind him of that. And so David was a great way off. He was off, but God said, "I'm going to set you straight." David was given a choice of what the punishment would be. It's either 7 years of famine, or you're going to have to flee from your enemies for 3 months, or 3 days of pestilence in the land. Which one do you want, David? 2 Samuel 24 and 14, "And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait." He is in a great strait. "Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." Sometimes we just need to be like David. We know we're a great way off. We know we've missed it. We know we don't deserve the grace of God. We can't help ourselves. We're in so deep. There's no hope for us. But just like David, we can declare, "Let me fall into the hand of the Lord. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. For his mercies are great." Let me tell you today, there's no better hand to fall into. There's no better hand to trust. There's no better hand to guide you, to help you, to pull you out of that place you're in. Yes, there may be correction. There may be judgment. There may be consequences. But fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. And maybe, just maybe, there was a prodigal son in Luke chapter 15
who in the depth of his despair, he got to thinking about David and how the grace of God had reached to David. And maybe he thought, you know what, I'm in a strange land right now, and I've wasted my inheritance, and I've made a mess of my life, and my friends all left me, and they were only after my money, and I don't have any left, and I'm miserable, I'm cold, I'm hungry, life has just about destroyed me. But what if I go back to my father's house? Because even the servants there have plenty to eat. And I've been crushed by my circumstances. I've been humbled by my journey. I've got nothing to offer. But if I fall into the hand of my father, and whatever he wants to do to me, even if I'm a servant in my father's house, it's better than what I've got here. Oh, I tell you today, I'd rather be a servant in the house of the Lord than a king sitting on a throne somewhere, than a president in the White House. If I have to choose, make me a servant in the house of the Lord. Make me a servant in your kingdom, oh God. And our text said that when he was a great way off, the Father saw him. He was looking for him. He was reaching for him. He was hoping every stranger that came over that hill, walking down that road, he said, could it be? Could it be? Is he coming? Is he coming? His Father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, hey, go get the best robe. You bring the ring of authority and put it on his hand, and put some shoes on his feet, because he's not a servant. He's not a servant, not in my house. This is my son. Oh, and bring the fatted calf, that one that we've been fattening up for this type of day, the one that we've been getting ready for just this occurrence. And we're going to eat, and we're going to be merry, because my son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. I don't know who you are today, but I tell you, the God of all heaven, the master of the universe, is looking down that dusty road, and he's saying, I'm waiting. Just make a step towards me. Just make a start. Just repent. Just do something to start back, and I'm going to run to you. Oh, would you stand with me today? Wherever you are, whatever you've done, no matter how low you've gone, no matter how far you've run, I don't care what kind of mess you've made of things today. We all could say, I've got a long ways to go. I'm a great way off. But if we'll fall into the hand of the Lord, if we'll start making our way back to the Father's house, if we'll make a step toward him, maybe we don't have the strength to make it all the way. But I tell you, if we'll just take a step, if we'll just make a start, his grace will go the distance. Hallelujah. I'll never forget several years ago, many years ago now, my pastor, Brother Daryl McCoy, there was a family in the church that one of their children, grown children, had gone far from the Lord, and something happened. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they passed away, and they had not made it back yet. And if you've ever been around my uncle, he shines in a couple of moments. He shines. God's given him some abilities, but one of those things is in tough funerals. God helps him. And I was thinking, how is he going to handle this? He preached from these scriptures. You see that lady? She just told somebody, I think the night before, I'm going to be in church this weekend. I'm coming back. I've got to get right. There was something going on in her heart. She knew she was a great way off. But she said, I'm starting back. And I want to tell you, a beautiful atmosphere of the grace of God filled that funeral that day, and people were touched. And I believe that there were even others there that were a great way off themselves, but they said, you know what, if she could do it, then I'm going to do it. You know, I believe there's a plan of salvation. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you've got to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's in the Word. But someone who's already experienced that, and somehow the enemy gets them off track and they're far from God, all they have to do is say, Jesus, I've got to get back. And I believe in that moment, God reaches for them. It doesn't mean that he's through in just a moment, but if they'll just make a step, I believe God runs and says, come on, I'll help you. I'll help you, and I'm going to bring you back. And it may be a process. It may take years. It may be a long time. Amen. The Bible says that God is faithful to forgive us if we'll repent of our sin. Hallelujah. He's faithful to forgive us. This is not in my notes, but I feel this right now. Even if somebody is watching today, or you're listening and you're far from God, and I don't even know where you are today, but oh, if you're far from the Lord, but you've won once, you've repented, and you've experienced the Lord's grace and mercy before, and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, and you at one point you are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, then wherever you are, if you would just repent today, and you'd say, Lord, forgive me for my mistakes. Forgive me, Lord. I have violated your word. I have violated your principles, and I need your help today. All you have to do is just repent right where you are. And if you've already received a gift of the Holy Ghost, I believe that God wants to fill you with it all over again right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God wants to, he wants to extend his grace. He wants to extend his mercy. He's reaching for you. You just got to make a step, and I believe he'll meet you in that place, and he'll take you through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there somebody in this house right now that you know you're not where you need to be? Doesn't mean you're backslid. You just know you've got a far ways to go, a great way to go to get to where God has called you to be. Would you reach out to him right now? Because God's reaching for you. He's reaching for you today. Hallelujah. How far will the grace of God go? How far will the grace of God go? Because, Pastor, you don't know how far I am today. You don't know the distance I've gone. You can't see the great lengths I've traveled out of the will of God. You don't know all of the trouble that I'm in today and how far I am. How far will God's grace go? It was David who said in Psalms 103, for as high as the heaven, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If God can do that, if he can remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west, then that means his grace is even further than that. His grace is even more than that. And he will travel even a greater distance than as far as the east is from the west if he can reach us. Would you let him today? Would you let him today? If you've never repented of your sins, if you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, you need to repent right now. You need to ask God, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. Forgive me, Lord, every time that I've done something that you weren't happy with. I pray that you would forgive me. I repent. I turn away from that, Lord. I don't want to do that anymore. I repent today. I repent today, Lord. Search my heart. You know what's in my heart, oh God. If there's something that's not right in me, if there's an attitude, if there's something, Lord, that you're not pleased with, Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of it. Cleanse me of it today. Wash me with your blood, Lord. Make me new today. I need you today. I repent. I repent. I repent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if you've not repented, you need to repent right now. Everybody, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, wash me clean. Lord, I pray that you would search me today. I repent for every sin, every sinful thought, every sinful thing I've done, every sin, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And once you've repented, once the Lord has forgiven you and he's cleansed you and he's cleansed the rooms of your heart, you don't want those places to stay empty. But you need the gift of the Holy Spirit to come and to fill your heart. Right now, I don't know where you are, but if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you begin to lift your hands and you just begin to worship God, I believe that God's grace would reach to you. And then in a moment of time, God could fill you with the gift of his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Come on, would you lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need you. And I worship you. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy right now. Lord, I love you. I need you. My heart needs you, Lord. I want you to fill my heart with your love and your power. And as you begin to praise and worship God, amen, the evidence of people getting the Holy Spirit in their life was they would begin to speak with other tongues, another language that they had never learned. And right now, wherever you are, I believe God wants to do it. As you begin to worship God, as you begin to praise him, all of a sudden you'll begin to feel something come over you, and your lips will begin to tremble, and your tongue will begin to tremble, and you'll begin to say words that you don't understand, but it's the Spirit of God. As God's grace goes the distance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would reach to every single person today, that you would touch their heart. Lord, that you would cleanse them, touch their mind today. And I pray that you would fill them with the gift of your Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Right now, in Jesus' name, let it happen all over, I pray, all over this city, all over our world, wherever they may be, however far they are. I pray that you would pour out your Spirit today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, we all need the Holy Ghost.